Good evening, class. Today we're going to continue where we stopped last week. Today we're going to talk about all work must be done in obedience. This comes from after you have learned obedience. Then it trickle all the way down. Not just some specific work, but all work that you do for God must be done in obedience. And then it transcends into the natural world system. All work must be done in obedience, even to the secular job, even to the system of the world system, even in the home, even in the service of following your pastor, your spiritual leaders. It all must be done in obedience. All work. If it's not done in obedience, then it's not really work. All right? Now, we're kind of stepping right down the line here with Genesis 2 and 3, still talking about Eve, because it all connects together here, and this is the foundation of this new lesson here about God's manifestation of rebellion, but it began with Eve and Adam, or Adam and Eve. Eve was not put under God's, was not only put under God's authority, notice what I'm saying here, in God's ordering under Adam's authority. Let me read again. Eve was put not only under God's authority, but also in God's ordering, in other words, God's divine order. In divine order, she was also under Adam's authority. Now, in other words, Adam was God's representative in the home. Now, did that change? No. God still put the husband as his representative in the home. A husband that can obey him. A husband that has learned authority and do his utmost best to obey God. He has to almost have learned obedience also. But notice, the process goes on together. Husband and wife learn obedience together. Okay? She had a double authority to obey. What I say? She had a double authority to obey. Well, what was that double authority? God and then Adam. You see it? And our position today is no different. Now, Eve, seeing that it was good for food, ate the fruit without inquiring as to whom she was obeying. You see it? She ate the fruit without even asking Adam or question. My goodness, I got to go here. Yes, I got to go here. Eve didn't even go to her husband after she talked to Satan, after she talked to the serpent. She should, by right, have gone and inquired of Adam, which was her Lord, if you understand what I'm trying to say, and let her know what was happening here. And before that, Adam may have said, No, hold that. No, we don't want to do that because that's just obeying God's command. He told me specifically not to touch the fruit. No, stop. No, Eve, we can't do that. And I believe if she would have went to Adam first with that, no problem. We've been living eternity. We would have been here forever and ever and ever, never to die and live to be 900 years old, maybe 1,000. We'll live in eternity. We've been living in eternity. The first creation was supposed to be God's last creation. But because Adam sinned, God had to do another creation. Are you with me? A first creation was the creation of eternity. In other words, it was the heaven on earth. Now God got to bring a new heaven and a new earth back into creation. What the first Adam destroyed, the second Adam, which was Jesus, came to bring this all back together brand new. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, our position today is no different. Now, Eve, seeing that it was good for food, ate the fruit without inquiring as to whom she was obeying. Yet, from the very beginning, God had ordered man to obey and not to be self-willed. Self-will is defined as rebellion. Now we know it. So God don't want anyone to be self-willed. What do you mean? What is self-will? Want what I want when I want. This is what I want to do, and this is what I'm going to do. My mind made up. I don't care who said what. I don't care what nobody think. This is self-will. So God does not want us to be self-willed. Eve's action, however, was not governed by obedience. It was initiated by her own will. So now we got to keep our will in check. Every time we're confronted with a decision or an opportunity to disobey or to obey, we got to check our will out. And is this my will? Is this something I want to accomplish for myself? And not thinking about the whole picture? See, when you think about the whole picture, then you can't be self-willed. But when you think about what you're gonna get out of it, or the advantage it's gonna bring you, then you become self-willed. Every self-willed person have an advantage. It comes from an advantage point. How is this gonna benefit me? Well, if it wasn't, it wouldn't be self-willed, because then you'll be God's will. And God's will is always to benefit whomsoever he want to benefit. All right. She was not subjected to God's order, nor did she obey God's authority. She instead made up her own mind. She rebelled. She rebelled against God and fell. My goodness. Any action which lacks obedience is a fall. Remember that statement. Underline that. Any action which lacks obedience is a fall. Any act of disobedience. See, I'm saying it. I'm gonna say it one more time. Any act of disobedience is rebellion. Why did I repeat that so much? Because sometimes we don't associate rebellion with disobedience. And sometimes it's hard for us to discern what disobedience is. Disobedience is my own way. Now you listen to me. I want to have my own way in our speaking term. We don't want to say, I want to be disobedient. Oh, nobody will ever say that. No, but you're thinking, I want my own way. This is the way I want to do this. This is the way I'm thinking. But we're not going to say, oh, I want to be in disobedience. No, because we forget that the principle that's involved here. And so then you can't see disobedience. Satan blinds us from disobedience. What I say, Satan blinds us from disobedience. He camouflages and make you think it's something else. You see it? Listen to this statement here. As man's obedience increases, his action decreases. Now I just say it in my film. You see, a lot of time, when you're learning obedience or in spiritual things and as a novice learning, remember I told you I practice with my son, you know, raising my children, our children, my wife mostly help. I mean, we raise them together. But we came to the point where, and I'm trying to explain this properly. As man's obedience increases, his action decreases. Now, what I'm saying is, sometimes, as a new Christian, let's use a new Christian that have not learned obedience yet, they want to do a lot of things. Boy, that's an anxiousness. And they want to do a lot of things for God. Oh man, look, I want to do this. I remember I did. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then a lot of time I was doing things, didn't know that I was doing a lot of things that God didn't want me to do. But I was anxious. I was anxious. But as I learned obedience, my actions slowed down. I didn't do a whole lot because I began to ask, is this what God wants? Is this thing God wants? I ain't doing that. See, because a lot of times good things are not God things. You can do a lot of good things, but God may not be in it. You see it? So you start asking, Lord, this you or this just me? Won't do a lot of things. You see it? And you get in trouble like that. You see it? Because you try to do things and because of your anxiousness and your excitement, but God never ordered anything. Just like just like Nadab in the Bible. Man, what do you think made them want to offer sacrifice on their own? This wanted to do things. This got spiritual. And just want to do things. So as you begin to grow in obedience, when you serve your pastor, you just can't keep doing things and you think it's all right if you never order it. I'm trying to get somewhere now. You just do things because it seemed good to do. But if he ain't order it, you're often straying far and become disobedient. But as you begin to mature, you find yourself stopping other people. Ho, 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 ho. You can't do that. You can't do that. I remember some ladies one, they came to the church and Sis Callum, Miss Callum was picking up the restroom. And she was beautifying. She loved everything first class. She's a first class first lady. And so what happened was some members said, they wanted to put all kinds of stuff they bought personally in the restrooms and stuff. And so we find out, and we say, no, we got to move this. McCallum didn't order this. So we took it out. And sometimes, if you don't watch it, people will get a little offended when you do things like that. But they realize they can't just do things. But as they learn, they find, check with authority first before you go start putting stuff. Because then everybody will be trying to bring stuff and put stuff in the restroom and do this. And put they want to redecorate the sanctuary themselves. So as your obedience increase, I'm gonna make this statement, your action decrease. Now you find yourself, I don't do a whole lot. Because if the Lord ain't told me that, then I ain't doing that. Because you begin to function in obedience. And you only do what the Lord tells you to do or what you ordered to do. You see it? I take so much time because I want you to get this. I want you to understand what I'm saying here, and it'll slow your actions down. So every good thing is not God's will, even though it seemed good to the soul, and it seemed good to the eyes, and it is a delight to the eyes, like Eve saw this, and it just seemed good. Because it seemed good, you need to do what Eve didn't do, inquire, always ask somebody. Don't just do things in your church. Ask authority if it's okay to do it. Is it okay if I do this? They might say no. Don't get offended. Because, see, you're properly aligning yourself with the will of God and with the will of your pastor and with the will of those in authority. Don't get offended. And sometimes people get offended and leave the church. No. That means they have not learned authority yet. And their heart didn't gotten rebellion because they couldn't put flowers in the women's bathroom. You understand what I'm trying to say? I hope you catch it. Because simple things can get you in obedience, disobedient. Because your action becomes your own self-will and not the will of those that in authority. Save yourself a lot of work here, if you listen to me. Save yourself a lot of, you can learn faster by listening than by doing sometimes. Now. So I say, remember this statement here. When we first begin to follow the Lord, we are full of activity, but quite short on obedience. But as we advance in spirituality, our action gradually diminish until we are filled with obedience. You see that? Don't that make sense? Don't it help you? Don't it help you? Don't it help you? It took many times to going through these lessons to understood exactly what Brother Washburn was saying. I would read this book, and I would be just as confused sometimes. I said, what is this man saying? But now I see it, because I see it because I understand it. And when I can understand something, I can explain something. You can't explain something you don't understand. And you can't teach something you're not doing. Always remember I said that. Many, however, do what they like and refuse to do what they dislike. Oh, my. I can talk right there and say a lot of things about that. Many, so it's always easy to do what you like. But when you're given an order that you dislike, oh, sometimes, boy, it's hard. You're almost close to disobedience. You're close to disobedience sometimes, because sometimes authority have you do some things you don't enjoy. No. Let me ask you this question. You're so spiritual. Do you think in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, when God told Samuel to go tell Saul, in whom he loved, you should be no more king unto me. I reject you as king because you disobeyed my commandment. You think Samuel enjoyed saying that? I doubt not. I say he didn't. I say it was a hard thing for him to do. I think he said, Lord, do I really have to tell him that? But either he obeyed God, or he rebelled himself against God. Because God said, I call you to be the prophet. And you got to submit to whatever I say, you got to do it. Sometimes I watch a pastor. And sometimes people judge things wrong. Sometimes, because sometimes they say, well, why he has to say that? But sometimes he will speak out openly. He said, Lord, you really want me to say that? You really want me to say that? And if you don't say it, you get in trouble with the Lord. You know, a pastor ain't going to get in trouble with the Lord. I'm trying to show you where this is going. Sometimes you got to do things you dislike. It is to do things you like, you know. It is to say, God is good, and his mercy is due forever. That's easy. But when you got to sit somebody down, you see it, that's not the easiest thing to do. You think a leader take pleasure in correction? Do an earthly father take pleasure in correcting his children? Do an earthly husband take pleasure in telling his wife, honey, we can't do this? No, we're not going to do this. Because then you got to respect her too. No, we can't do this. That's why the children got to be submissive. The husband got to be submissive. The members got to be submissive in the church. So sometimes God has some things that don't sound right. I remember my child. Lord, help me, Jesus. I remember my little daughter. Oh, she was a teenager. And her cousin, Ariana, and she in class, so she's going to be listening to this. Her cousin, Ariana. No, that's my middle daughter. It was my middle daughter. Her cousin, Ariana, wanted her to come ride with her. We going to Thibodaux, Louisiana. Most of you all may not even know where Thibodaux is. But it's a little town down South Louisiana. Going to Thibodaux, and Rhonda, I didn't want to call my daughter's name. My daughter said, Daddy, can I go with Ariana? And I said, as a father, oh yeah, go. But when I step away, I had a check in my spirit. I said, no, you can't go. I had to go back. Do you know how hard it was for me to go back and tell my daughter, no, you can't go? You think I enjoy telling my daughter, no, you can't go? No, sometimes it's the hardest thing to say. But nevertheless, I told her. I told her. I said, no, you can't go. Why, Daddy? I just can't go. I had a check in my spirit, in my inner man. I said, no, I didn't know why. I didn't want to tell her. And she cried. So I almost wanted to change my mind. But I couldn't let those tears stop me. I couldn't let those tears and my feelings stop me. Oh, I wanted to stay, go ahead anyway. But nevertheless, we get a call an hour or two later. Ariana got in an accident going to Thibodaux. And I said, Lord, and my daughter understood. And from that day forward, I had no more problem with her, listening to her father, or us as parents. See, because husband and wife have to be in agreement. The boy has to be in agreement. So sometimes husband might say one, the wife say, oh, let that child go. No, I can't love my wife too much to disobey God. I just got to be, we just got to be tough it out for a little while. We just got to be upset with each other for a little while. I'm going to listen to God. And so, nevertheless, she understood. And it was a lesson of obedience for her. And to know why it's important to listen to authority in the home. See, that's when the husband got to step up sometime. See, God would help. If my daughter would have got hurt in that car, see, Satan might have been after my daughter. Well, but they didn't get seriously hurt, but Satan might have been after my daughter. He might want to take her out. Everybody could have come out okay, but she could have been taken out. You see how Satan works? But no, I had to listen to God. And it wasn't easy sometimes obeying God by telling her no. But I tell you what, I'm so grateful today. I'm grateful today. My daughter's grateful today. And I can tell you stories after stories about things, but that one just popped up first, so I told it to you. So understand. See, husband and wife got to be in agreement when a husband hear from God. You see it? It's not your idea better than mine. No, I believe I'm hearing from God. And you got to trust your husband. You see, wives, trust your husband if he's following God. Trust him. If he missed it, just have mercy upon him. He missed it trying. But nevertheless, that's God's order. Now, what is that for? Authority is for protection. You see it? I hope I'm saying something that might help you a little bit. All right. Now, so many do what they like, but don't do what they dislike. They refuse to do what they dislike. And sometimes you got to just listen to the Holy Ghost. They never ponder whether or not they are acting out of obedience. You see it? You always got to go back to the inside. Am I doing this out of obedience? Sometimes you just can't think authority is just talking. You just can't think authority is just talking. Listen to authority. Listen. Because sometimes you may be hearing from God. Now, when a man don't take his rightful position in a marriage, in authority, somebody got to step up. Their wife might have to be the authority, but you got to use wisdom with her authority from God. Wisdom, you got to be in authority, under authority at the same time. Because God, if you can't speak to the, I want to say dumb husband, but I ain't going to say it. If you can't speak to the husband, you got to speak to the wife that's more spiritually, but at the same time, she got to say things with reverential fear, because she's still submitted to her husband, whether he can hear from God truly or not. You see, because she don't want to break that divine order, but she just can't say, oh, the Lord told me this. No, you can't do it like that. Got to use wisdom. Because the man's still going to think you're taking his manhood from him, and then you're going to be in rebellion against him. When God tells you something and you know it's God, say, Lord, give me wisdom how to orchestrate this in my home. Because I don't want confusion in my home between me and my husband. Are you with me, Claire? I'm saying more than you're hearing. You see it? I'm saying more than you're hearing. Wisdom. You see it? Before Adam. Okay, but I can't say before Adam. I got to go to the statement before I say before Adam. I'm going to get to the before Adam after this statement. The principle of good and evil. Remember this statement. The principle of good and evil, underline this if you got your book. The principle of good and evil is to live according to what is right or what is wrong. That was good and evil. You see, in other words, when God talked about the tree of good and evil, when man can live with himself knowing, see, the moment Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they had right and wrong within themselves. They became the judge of things instead of God. See, God's whole intent is, let me judge what's right and wrong. You just obey. I don't want you trying to figure nothing out. You just obey. You see it? Oh my goodness, God, go back to the home again. If the husband is rightly hearing from God, you see, that's the way the home should be. I don't want, honey, I don't want you trying to figure nothing out. Just trust me and obey. I ain't saying trying, but sometimes people think you want to rule and think for them. No. See, God don't want to just rule us and just think for us, but God know what's best. God know what's best for us. So if God know what's best, why not just trust him? Oh, you listening to me. So the principle of good and evil is to live according to what is right or what is wrong. Before Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, their right and wrong were in God's hand. You understand that? They didn't have to deal with no right and wrong. They didn't have to make no big decision. All they had to do, if God says something, yes, sir. That's what we're going to do. See, in the church, when you follow the principle of good and evil, then when your apostle or your pastor says something, you're going to want to judge it yourself. But when you got right and wrong in God's hand, and when your leader says something, you say, yes, sir. That the way you say be going? That the way I'm going. You don't question his authority when you know he's following God. Well, what that last statement say? When you know he's following God. Now, if you got a man that ain't following God, you don't need to be there. If you're in the church where a man can't hear from God, you don't need to be there. Just be in the church where you know you got somebody trusting God, following God, spend time with God, spend time in the Word of God, living a holy and clean life. That's the requirement for being a man of God. Then you can trust him. You can trust him. Is he going to be perfect? No. But I tell you what, I love apostles so much. Because if you make a misstep, he's going to come back and let us know. Say, look, I went the wrong direction. I got to go back. I go back. We got to go back, church. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. You see? And what happened with that? We didn't have to decide. Right and wrong was in God's hand. And then correction comes from the top anyway. And then somebody says, I knew we were going the wrong direction. No, you rebellious fool. You shouldn't say nothing like that out of your mouth. Amen. I didn't mean to say that like that. All right. Before Adam even ate the forbidden fruit, their right and wrong were in God's hand. If they did not believe, they did not live before God. If they did not live before God, they knew nothing at all. Yeah, I'm trying to show you something. If they did not live, I'm going to explain that. If they did not live before God, they knew nothing at all. In other words, if you live before God, I ain't got to know nothing but obey. For their right and wrong were in God. I don't have to. God, you know everything. I ain't got to try to figure nothing out. That's why Jesus said, take no thought for your life. You don't need to even, Jesus bring them back to the first act, to the first creation. Jesus bring him back to the new Adam. Jesus bring him back to the Eden. I'm trying to say it. Jesus bring him back to Eden. He said, take no thought for your life. I'm trying to put right and wrong back in God's hand. You see it? You see it? Take it out of your hand. We're trying to figure out everything. You don't have to figure it out. Just trust God. If you've been to the Prosperity Revival, you'll know. If you trust God, you ain't got to figure out what you should eat or what you should drink. You ain't got to be worried about that. Just trust God and say, Lord, my life in your hand. Whatever you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. You tell me to go left. I don't know which way to go with this, Lord. You tell me which way to go. See, you're putting right and wrong in God's hand. Lord, I don't know how to handle this. But you know, God already knew what he's going to do. See, because your right and wrong is in God's hand. You ain't judging nothing. You ain't trying to figure nothing out. That's where God's trying to get us here. Are you seeing it here? You see it? I hope you see it. The right and wrong was in God's hand. So I'm going to read this statement one more time. See if you understand. If they did not live before God, they knew nothing at all. That you see, people don't like that word, knowing nothing at all. Well, you know nothing at all. You're in a perfect place. Lord, I don't know what to do. You right where God wants you. Lord, I don't know what to do. The people say, but my eyes are on you, Lord. I don't know what to do. They're in the right place. God said, oh, I found somebody that's committed to me and willing me to move, willing to let me move. No, we don't let God move because our right and wrong is in God's hand. We judge everything. We got to figure it out. I know exactly what I'm going to do here. I know exactly what I'm going to do that. I know exactly what I'm going to do here. wasn't supposed to be in God's hand to start with. Hope you listen. Hope I'm saying more than you're listening. All right. And by taking the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they found a source of right and wrong in other than God himself. Oh, that's where you don't want to be. Find a source of right and wrong in a source other than God himself. Find a source of prosperity in other than God himself. Find a source of your needs being met other than God himself. Find a source of healing, oh, listen to me, in other than God himself. Find a source of raising your children with the world system in other than God himself. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. You see it? This right and wrong puts you back on the inside. It puts you on the inside, like the instructors that the teacher's been teaching in the prosperity of life. See, like apostle been teaching. Go back to the inside with obedience. Obedience brings you to the inside. Disobedience keeps you on the outside with right and wrong, trying to figure out things for yourself. Oh, my yoke is easy, Jesus said, at the inside. My yoke is easy because you're right, you put it back in my hand. You're right and wrong back in my hand. And my burdens are light. It's heavy because you're trying to figure stuff out by yourself. Your right and wrong is in your hand and not in God's hand. Give it back to him. Go back to the beginning. Go back to where God wants you. Say, Lord, I'm not judging on this thing no more. Lord, I ain't gonna eat all this tree of good and evil. So whenever you're figuring stuff out, you're living under the principle of good and evil, right and wrong. Lord, if I make this decision, this is gonna happen. If I make this decision, you're trying to figure it out. Jesus had an opportunity in the garden. Satan, but he said, Lord, let this cup pass for me. He wasn't supposed to figure it out. But nevertheless, Lord, I'm getting under your government, not my will. I'm following you, Lord. I'm going with you. I'm going whatever you want. I'm going with you, Lord. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. We're going with God. Consequently, after the fall, men need not find in God the sense of right and wrong. They have it in themselves. You see? After the fall. So every person that's not born again, and even Christians that have not found a revelation of what we're talking about, the revelation of what the apostles talking about, going back to the inside, all those teachings is putting right and wrong back in God's hand. The ability to judge things for yourself, the ability to figure things out for yourself, you're putting it back in God's hand. So consequently, after the fall, man did not find in God the sense of right and wrong. They have it in themselves. I don't want that in me. I don't want that right and wrong in me. I'm back in God. My right and wrong, the tree of good and evil, is back in God's hand. I don't want to know everything. I'm better off knowing nothing. Paul said, except Jesus Christ, I know nothing. I'm paraphrasing what Paul said. But Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, Paul understood this. What do you say I know? I'm with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. He said, and all I know is weakness and fear. In other words, not depend upon my own effort, my own self-help. But what I'm depending on is Jesus Christ and him crucified. I understand that scripture more clearly. You see, Paul was putting right and wrong, good and evil, back in God's hand. He said, I don't have to figure it out. I don't know everything. Matter of fact, I don't know nothing but Jesus Christ, him crucified. See, he understood that principle. This is the result of the fall. The work of redemption. Oh, listen to this now. Listen to this. The working of redemption is to bring us back to the place where we will now find right and wrong in God. God brings us back to the place where we now find right and wrong back in God. What is God doing? God is bringing us to the place where we now find right and wrong back in God. That's where it was in the beginning. So whenever we find ourselves faltering, see, that's where revelation comes in. That's where God unfolds his mystery to the apostolic. You see, that's why Paul said this is an apostolic school, because it unfolding mysteries. You see it? It unfolding mysteries. So now we know that we can't put right and wrong in ourselves. We don't want it in ourselves. We put it back in God's hand. Class, I don't want to get into the next subject. And so this is far I'm going to go with this one. I might be in it about 3 or 4 minutes short, but that's okay. I want to get these thoughts out. And I think this is going to be sufficient for us to end these two classes right here. I think we understand. I won't stay in the same van. So right, I'm going to close right here, class. And so remember those things I said. Refresh yourself. Go over them and over them again. Read Galatians, not Galatians, read Genesis chapter 2 and 3, and this thing going to unfold, and you're going to understand it plainly, and it's going to begin to become reality to you and a revelation. Class, you've been a good class. You listen good. Go in peace and be whole.